So Parshas Vayera is a very momentous parsha. Really, a lot happens here. It starts with the discussion of Avraham Avinu's extraordinary way in hospitality. Avraham Avinu's on the third day after his bris mila, and all he wants to do is take care of guests. It concludes on a very dramatic note of the Akedah, but before the Akedah, after some peacemaking, Avraham Avinu style, where he stays right where he is and they come to him and sue for peace. Or beg for peace. So once again, we have some information about Avraham Avinu's hospitality, how Avraham Avinu welcomed guests and what he did. So that's what we're going to focus on today. This will be our last class for this week. Chapter 21. We're going to go to verse 31 through 34. So the pasuk tells us it's about the kind of the end of this peacemaking event, where Avraham Avinu stood his ground. He didn't compromise for anybody or to go anywhere. And they came to him and they said, "We see Hashem is with you, and you're an extraordinary person." And they want to make this oath and they want to make this peace and they sue for peace. And Avraham makes sure that they know that the well that he dug is his well, and they shouldn't get in his way. And then Avraham Avinu even gives them like a gift as a sign that they should accept this gift, that they accept his conditions. Very different than the kind of quote-unquote peacemaking you hear about today. And the Torah says, because Avraham Avinu gave this gift in order, so that this will be for a testimony for me, that I dug this well. It's very important for Avraham Avinu that everybody should know that the well is his. That's really interesting, because what's up with the well, right? Very important that the well is his. And then Al-Kain Karol Amakimahu, that's why this place is called Be'er Sheva. Be'er means a well. Sheva becomes the terminology of oath. And the Torah says, Kisham Nishbu Shnehem, because there an oath, a mutual oath, was entered into. Vayichrisu Vris Be'er Sheva, they cut a covenant in Be'er Sheva. Vayakam Avimelech, Ufichal Sar Tzvoi, the king and his chief of staff, or the head of his armed forces, Avimelech, and respectively, the name is Pichel, the Yeshuva, Eretz Pelishtim. They go back to Eretz Pelishtim. Now, where do they go back to? Avraham Avinu is in Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva is in the Nachal Gror, in the Gror Gorge or Valley, which is actually in Eretz Pelishtim.
Yeah.
Avraham Avinu is living in Eretz Pelishtim, living in southern Israel, which is land of the Pelishtim. So what does it mean they went back to Eretz Pelishtim? So Ramban says, it's true, this is all Eretz Pelishtim, that they had come from their capital city, whose name we don't know, or at least we're not told what the name of that city was, but it was some distance away.
North.
And I don't know if it was north. Doesn't say. But it says they went back to their city. The Ramban says they went back to Ir HaMelech, Sheba Eretz Plishtim. They went back to the capital city, which was in the land of Plishtim. They went back there, that's what they went back to, and they left Avraham alone. All right, that's very nice. So Avraham Avinu now he's fought wars, he's been victorious, he has a baby, he's had wars, inner wars in his house, you name it, the challenges, he had it. Okay, what does Avraham do now? Torah says, this is a very important verse, Vayita Eshel. Now Avraham Avinu opened the first JNF office. He started planting. Where did the first planting take place? In Be'er Sheva. Vayikra sham b'shem Hashem, and he called there in the name of God, Kael Olam, the master of the universe. What is an Eshel? Vayita. First thing we see is it says Vayita Eshel. So Unculus simply says that he involved himself in planting. That's what it means. Vayita Eshel means he involved himself in planting, some kind of planting. Or he says v'nitzav ilono. Or Nitzava, Nitzava. So whether he planted a tree or many trees, Ibn Ezra says it's a shame koilul for eitz. It means he planted trees. It was a forest. Doesn't mean it's not a particular kind of forest. It's not a particular kind of tree. Avraham Avinu planted trees. It's really interesting. First Jew, first time he's at peace, finally, in the land of Israel. He's been there for a long time already, well over 50 years. And the first thing he does, we hear about, is he's planting.
It's not the acacia trees that are used for
them. Oh, right, you're going midrashic. Sorry. So first on a literal level, no. He planted. Okay. Let's take a look in Rashi. Rashi is a little bit, feels disturbed by this. What does it mean, Eishel? He planted trees? Why is it relevant for us? Torah doesn't just tell us things. What is the message for us? So Rashi says that the truth is there's two opinions here, and we don't have kind of a conclusion. We don't know exactly what that meant, but there was different schools of thought that read into this word in a very different way. And the two schools of thought were headed by Rav and Shmuel. These are the great sages in the first generation of the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, the great sages who lived in Bavel, who headed different academies, Sura and Pumpedisa, named Rav and Shmuel, and they had this big disagreement. Chad Omar once said, Pardes, Avraham Avinu planted an orchard. So he doesn't just say planted, emphasis on fruit-bearing trees. Why is that relevant? It says, Rashi, Lahavi Mimenu, Pedes La'orchim Besuda. Because Avraham Avinu wanted to be able to provide hospitality for his guests, and to provide hospitality for his guests, the best way is to have your own supply. You don't have to worry about fresh fruit. He has his own fresh fruit. He chooses his own fruit, picks his own fruit in order to feed the person. And that's the meaning of Eishel. So he follows the approach of Unkelus. That's the approach maybe that Ibn Ezra takes, that it's trees, although Ibn Ezra doesn't emphasize that it's fruit-bearing tree. And Rashi brings the opinion of Rav that it was in order to provide hospitality. Vachad, and the other, let's say presumably Shmuel, says, Pundak la'achsanya. What he did was he created a guest home, a place for people to stay.
What does that have to do with planting trees?
What does that have to do with planting trees? Very good question. So he says, Ubay, and in this pundak, in this guest home, or in this motel, kol mine peiros. There were always lots of fruits. It was the fruity place to stay.
It's the same as the other.
Umatsinu. And we find, L'shoy netiyah b'yaholim. Now Rashi defends the opinion of Shmuel, who seems to tell us that this was not a planting of a tree, but rather the establishing of some kind of
orchard.
No, not an orchard or a tree, but like a home, some kind of edifice, a place for people to stay.
That's not what it says, though. You planted trees.
You it doesn't say you planted trees. Vayita Eishel.
What's Eishel?
I don't know. That's the question. If it would say planted trees, it say Vayita Eitz. It doesn't say he planted trees.
What does Eishel mean?
We don't know it. That's what we're struggling with.
Totally,
we don't know what Eishel means.
We don't know what it means.
No, we don't know what Eishel means. Right. According to the Medrash Tilim, Eishel is an acronym for three Hebrew words. Aleph stands for Achila, which means food. Shin stands for Shasia, which means drink. And Lamed stands for Levia, which means an escort. Now hold that thought. Hold that thought because that idea of Levia is going to be very, very important here. Oh, but the actual word means planting, you're saying. So we may not know what Eishel means, but Vayita means Eishel. Says Rashi, this is why it's a very good idea to look inside. Says Rashi, Matsinu l'shoin natia be'aholim. We do find the Torah's use of that syntax when it comes to a place place of shelter. Shenemar, as it says, and here Rashi reaches deep into the book of Daniel. And he says, it says in the book of Daniel, Vayita aholei apandei. He established his dwelling, his palace. Apandei is a palace. So it was a large palatial structure, some kind of shelter, large shelter that he created. And the term was not Vayivne. It was not that he built, but rather Vayita. I don't know if it's created.
Planted.
More like implanted. I don't know. It's that in English just doesn't work, incidentally. There are certain things which work in English and don't work in another language. But in English it doesn't work. In English we don't have that terminology. Sometimes we do have terminology which carries over into English. But that's how it is in Hebrew. That this terminology could be used.
Planted, established.
Yeah, you could say established. It's not, but in Hebrew it's literally the same word. Okay. So now we know that the Eishel was for the purpose of hospitality. That's very clear. What exactly was the emphasis here? It seems pretty obvious that Avraham Avinu planted trees. Nobody seems to argue with that. And it seems pretty obvious that there was fruit. Both Rav and Shmuel talk about fruit. It also seems pretty obvious that Eishel is not a typical orchard, because that's not the name for an orchard. It's something which is hospitality oriented. We have a Medrash Tilum which tells us that it's an acronym for Achila, Shetiyah, and Leviyah. And there's a Medrash Seichel Tov. The Medrash says that Rav Yudan taught that the name Eshel is the term of a Sanhedrin, of a mechanism to solve disputes. You know, the Gemara tells us, if you don't have peace, you don't have anything. People are fighting and have disputes. It's really bad. So Avraham Avinu would see people fighting. He would help them resolve the disputes. He had a mediation service. You could sit down and you'd have professionals and they'd help you mediate your disputes and come to some kind of resolution. And it was like a wonderful thing. So that brought people peace. Now, Rashi is very clear that the reason for this Eshel is all about the concept of hospitality. Rashi is very clear about that. That's Pshuta from Mikra. I should tell you, though, that some of the other Pashtani HaMikra, some of the other commentaries, they read into this tree or planting a little bit differently. So Radak, for example, he certainly takes the approach of Rav, that it means a tree, but he says this is really all about the Be'er. Avraham Avinu wanted everybody to acknowledge that it was his be'er, it was his well. He dug that well. He gave them gifts. He said, you accept these gifts. This is my well. Now you're going to see when it comes to Yitzchak, there's going to be an issue. They're going to come back to contest the wells. But Avraham Avinu is prescient. He knows that you acknowledge this is my well, he says. So Radak says this was a methodology to be able to assert ownership over the well. How? Because there's an orchard right next to the well. So therefore, he built around the well. He didn't live on the well, but he had his orchard on the well. And if you have plants or trees, what do you need?
Water.
So they were always using the water from the well to water the trees. The trees, you couldn't argue. The trees, that was Avraham Avinu's trees. So Avraham Avinu's trees are being watered by Avraham Avinu's be'er. And that's the way he establishes ownership. Rabbeinu Bachaya says, now that he established ownership over a be'er, so now he made sure to plant the trees, and he did that. Sheyashka oisam imeha be'er, so they would water the trees from his well. In other words, it sounds like Avraham Avinu couldn't engage himself in planting before for the simple reason that he would not be guaranteed a source of hydration for the trees. But once he got the hydration taken care of, so then he can go ahead and plant. Why? Hydration in place, check. Now he can go ahead and take care of the trees. All right, now, perhaps one could say that even if you follow the opinion, the approach of Radak and Rabbeinu Bachaya, which is different than Rashi, perhaps you could still say there's an emphasis here on hospitality, because one of the things that you need is hydration, not just trees, people. And especially if it's a desert area, and Be'er Sheva isn't a desert area, you need to be able to provide people with hydration. So therefore, for Avraham, it was extremely important that he establish an Abrahamic well. This way he could provide water.
Sheva was a mean trade route.
So it was a very, very mean trade route. It was right on the trade route. Vayikra Shom B'Shem Hashem Kelelom. Now, regardless of how you read the first verse, you have to understand how to read the second verse, second part of the verse. And this is probably one of the reasons that Rashi so strongly emphasizes the concept of hospitality. He says, because the second part of this verse is calling out the name of Hashem. Says Rashi, he called out Al Yedei Oisoi Eshel, by means of that Eshel, Nikra Shmoi Shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu L'Chol Ha'olam. The name of God became spoken, referred to. God became a household word, in a good way. People talked about God. God, He created what's called a global God consciousness, and He did it with a little in. He did it with a well. He did it with fruits. He did it in Be'er Sheva. How did he do this? Because what would happen was, la'achar, afterwards, shaya eichlim v'sheisim, people would eat, they would drink, they would be satiated. Omer lahem, Avraham says to them, baruchu l'misha achalte mishaloi. Why don't you now thank, why don't you bless the one whose bounty you have eaten? So Avraham is fishing for a compliment. No problem. Thank you. Sevurim, you think, Sha'atem Mishali Achaltem? What, you think this is mine that you're eating? You think I'm asking you to thank me? No, you have it all wrong. You have eaten, you have enjoyed the bounty of the one who spoke and brought the world into existence, the creator of heaven and earth. So if you have brought, if you have enjoyed the fruit of the one who brought heaven and earth into existence, now is your opportunity to bless and thank him. And the Medrash goes on to tell us that the people would say, nah, that's okay. We're happy to thank you. And Avraham says, well, if you don't want to talk about God and you don't want to thank God, we're going to have to deal with some bills. He says, okay, fine, you can bill us, that's fine. And he racked up a bill that knocked their socks off. And they're like, no, Avraham, this is ridiculous. This is a very heavy, hefty bill over here. And they said, well, who else is giving you food like this in the desert? Supply and demand. And they were not so happy with this bill. And they argued with the bill. And Avraham was adamant. And they would say, he says, you can go back to option one. I said, all right, let's go back to option one. So you go back to option one, and Avraham Avinu would give them a whole, not just a bencher, but a whole class. And he would engage them in conversation. And these people would be on the trade route. And they would come back to wherever they lived. And they would say, you never believe what happened to us. And they would tell a story. And then the next group of people, and there was constantly people coming. This was on the Silk Route. This connected the lands of Africa, Asia, even Europe. Everything was going through this. It was right there, center of the world. So Avraham Avinu, without even a fax machine, forget about an iPhone, right? He managed to get his word spread far and wide. Global God consciousness, just by word of mouth. Because the people had it's an amazing experience that happened in Avraham Avinu's home. Now that's what Rashi tells us. And the Unkulus says that Avraham Avinu created a shul for himself there. It says, V'tzalit haman b'shmod Hashem, he prayed in the name of God. So maybe we created like a house of worship or something. It's not a contradiction. These are all different variations, I think, of the same idea. Now, Ramban says that the order here is very specific. He said, after what happened with Avimelech, that Avimelech abducted Sarah. That's in this week's parsha. And then there's the story of how that worked out. And then here now there's a story of Avraham Avinu establishing a mini fiefdom, if you will, or an independent state within a state. Here you have the Pelishtim, and they have this very powerful monarch and the strong armed forces, and the king and the commander of the armed forces, they come to Avraham and they're suing for peace. They're begging him, we want your stamp of approval. We want you to formally acknowledge our presence and be friends with us. So this was extraordinary. And because of this, people began to rally around Avraham. Everybody was in awe of him. And Rabban says, they came around Avraham Avinu, what do you think he got them to do? He was a celebrity. So what did he use his celebrity or star power for? To promulgate the message of God consciousness. He taught people about the Eibishter. In Hebrew, Shiachziku ve'emun nase, that they should hold fast to the faith of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in this way, Avraham Avinu was able to transform the world, certainly his region, but ultimately the world. The Medrash Oyer HaFeila terms the idea of Eshel as a makom limud, as a yeshiva. So you had an academy. You can go to the Abrahamic Academy. So everybody's going to have to agree that regardless of what exactly an Eshel means, or which detail of the Eshel we emphasize in explaining it, that ultimately it led towards the same goal. And the goal was, the purpose was, to promulgate a message of the presence of Hashem. That people should have a relationship with Hashem. That's what this is all about. So to recap, we have many ideas we talked about today. It could have been a forest. It could have been trees. It could have been a court system. It could have been an academy. It could have been an inn. It could have been a shul.
All of the above.
All of the above. It could be all these things. But the bottom line is that Avraham Avinu used this to create the center of hospitality, and through the hospitality, to promulgate in a global way a message of the presence of Hashem. Got that? All right. So now we're going to take a look at a fascinating concept with regard to Avraham Avinu's special hospitality, the Abrahamic way in hospitality. I mentioned earlier that Mizmer Tilim, the Medrash Tilim, it's in chapter 110, it terms the idea of Eshel as Achila, eating, is Aleph, Shtia, and Leviya. Leviya means an escort. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Evel, and this is a quote, we're on page Resh Chavav, by the way, in the Bureau book, Simon Chafei. The Rambam writes, Mitzvahs asei shal divrehem, it is a rabbinic mitzvah, levaker chaylib, excuse me, levaker chaylib, that we should visit the sick, lenachem aveilim, that we should comfort. Can I ask Rabbi Yossi about it? It's a positive mitzvah for us to visit the sick, to go and offer comfort to those who are sitting shiva, those who are bereaved. Ula hoitzi hames, to escort the dead, to attend the funeral. Ula hachnis akala, to be part of the entourage that brings in a bride. Ulilveis ha'archim, and to escort guests. So we're visiting the sick here. We're providing bereavement. We're attending funerals and weddings. And we're escorting our guests. The Rambam then says, Schar halavia, the remuneration from Hashem, the reward for the escort, meruba min hakol, is the most of everything. Talked about a whole bunch of different things. But schar halavia, the reward of escorting a guest, escort him when he goes out. This, he says, is meruba min hakol, more than everything. The Rambam says, v'hu hachok, this is the statute, shechokakoy Avraham Avinu, that our father Abraham established, the derech hachesed, this is the way in kindness, shenogba, that Avraham made it his practice, machil oivrei drachim, he would feed wayfarers and travelers, umelave oisa, and then he would escort them. So this obviously borrows on the idea we talked about, this is the concept of Avraham's hospitality, but we're specifically emphasizing the Medrash Tilim, which we mentioned on the outset, that Avraham Avinu not only fed them, not only hydrated them, he escorted them. And the Rambam makes a big deal out of this. He expends this inordinate amount of time focusing on the escort, walking your guests out. He says, this is more than everything. It's more than food. It's more than drink. It's more than the welcome. Is how you say goodbye to them. He's the chok shechakoko Avraham Avinu. This is the statute established. What's going on over here? This is the thing that he did. And Avraham Avinu was fed them, he gave them to drink, but malava isa. So the emphasis here is on the livui, on escorting them out. But sort of bia, this is obviously needs to be explained here. Hare harambam eini oisekan b'mitzvah sachnasas archim b'chlolusa. He's not even talking about the mitzvah of achnasat archim, of providing for guests, of providing hospitality. He's emphasizing the milas levias archim. He talks about the idea of escorting the guests when they're gone. Well, if he's talking about the escorting the guests, Madua Efemaska Rambam, why does the Rambam mention Machil, Mashke? He fed the wayfarers, he gave them to drink. Umelava Isan. The Rambam set out to begin with to tell us about Achoik Shechakoki Avraham Avinu, and that was the Abrahamic practice of hospitality, is that he walked you out, he escorted you on the way out. So then why is the Rambam mentioning again the idea of feeding and drinking? So this is really the key. The fact that I've mentioned is the eating and drinking before he talks about the escorting. The Yesh Leimar. The Rebbe suggests that is a very, very important message is being conveyed to us here. Kavanas HaRambam, the intention of the Rambam here was Lahadgish, to emphasize Shelivui HaOirech Yeshna HaShpoa Gam Alachnosas Orchim Kula. That the escorting the guest at the end has a direct bearing and influence on what happened before, on the eating and drinking. The eating and drinking, the nourishment, the typical hospitality, as it were, is very much influenced or very much impacted by how this all ends, by the escort at the end. And he explains. Kasher ha-me'areach melave es oirchoi, when the person who is hosting escorts his guest, melamed hadavar, then this is it gives us an understanding. It provides a certain clarity. It's like it says something. It teaches something. What does it say? It says that the ma'areach, that the host, is sincerely interested in having his guests. That the guests are not what you call an extra finger. It's like, are you leaving yet? Are you out of here? I took care of you. In other words, hanim shech es gam kisha oyda chelach ledarkei. It's not just about you came for the guest, you came to eat, you ate. Okay, goodbye. Now the fact that you're walking him out, that he doesn't really need any more help. Like, the guest has received what the guest needs. He was hungry, he's thirsty, got food, got drink. Okay, so go. No, but got food, got drink. You don't need him to walk you out, but he's still walking you out. What is he saying? What message does he communicate by doing that? He's communicating a message that I'm actually happy you're here. Your presence interests me. I am not happy to get this over with. So when a person gets escorted out, Nimtza comes out, Shayideh Halavia, that's through the escort, Margish Ha'erach, that the guest feels, Shekol Masha Osa Lamane, Balabayas, that all the hospitality you received, Lehoyerach De Lotzish Dechavasa, was not simply to do what's necessary, to discharge the obligation, if you will, but rather, Elimitechis Anyanos Kainava Mitis, but rather, out of a sincere desire to provide, to host. You know, if you look at the Rambam's words, are now, he talks about what if you don't escort somebody. He says, "Kol misheini malava." This is again according to the Rambam. If you don't escort your guest, kilo shefer damin. It's as if you spilled his blood. Heavy stuff. Why? Shama'areach doeg l'tzarchav shel ha'erach. The ma'areach, the Rebbe says, he's worried about all the needs. Gives him food, gives him drink. But he doesn't walk him out. It's like he's shefer damav. Now, shefer damav is a euphemism. It's oftentimes employed to describe shame and embarrassment when you rob somebody of self-esteem or self-worth. So it's like it's a disgrace. It makes a person feel uncomfortable. Like we have this Mishnah that says Hamal ben Bnei Chaveri, the person who embarrasses or shames his friend, his fellow in public. It's Ki'ilu Shafach Dam, as if he spills his blood. Vergissen de Blut. That would be a Yiddish translation. Yeah, that's as a kid. That's the way you heard it. Right? So the point, the humiliation. Exactly, humiliation. Why? Because the Oirach feels, he feels like a beggar. He feels like you don't really want him. He feels like, is he gone yet? Go already. Nobody feels good about that. So you can give somebody everything, but you rob him of his self-esteem. He feels humiliated by receiving the kindness. Like, are you really a host? Is that really hospitality? That's what Avraham Avinu was doing. In other words, one could boil hospitality down to the bare bones. Food, drink. You know, was hungry, no longer hungry, check. That's not hospitality. Hospitality is making a person feel at home. Giving him food and drink, that's what you do for your dog. Your dog is hungry or thirsty, you throw some food down, the dog eats.
It's good life.
You don't have to. It's a good life. It's for dogs, it's a good life. It's not for people. Have you heard the expression, don't treat me like a dog?
Never heard a dog say it.
I never heard a dog say it. I was once sort of very crotchy, ornery kind of older fellow, and he was very wealthy also, so that didn't help. And his wife was telling him, okay, I prepared dinner for you, I'll leave you dinner, and then I'm going to do this and going to do that. And he was just a crotchy guy. He said, what am I, a dog? You made left me dinner? A dog? Took care of your dog? I was like, ouch. Like when you want to get out of there, I was like. That's the point here. Hospitality is not about food and drink. Hospitality is about feeling good. Hospitality is about being able to impart a sense of dignity, a sense of satisfaction, a sense of like a person's happy with what he got. And that's when you show you're really interested in the person. You really care about the person. That's when it goes that way. V'zuhi kavanas divri ha-Rambam. These are the words of the Rambam. Ha-chayk shekarkoki Avraham Avinu. This is the statute of Abraham. This is the derech ha-chesed shenogba. This is the way of kindness. In other words, Avraham le-kiyem es mitzvah sachnasas archim. Avraham did not just fulfill the mitzvah of hospitality. Rak de lotzeis yidei chivasei. Just to discharge his obligation. I do what I have to do. No. Ela asa zeich metech ava v'chesed amitim. He really cared. He was really sincere. He did this wholeheartedly and big-heartedly. V'lachein, that's why the Rambam mentions ma'achil evidrachim u'mashkeisim, feeding the wayfarers, giving them to drink, kedei lahadgish, to emphasize, shegam pa'ulis elu, that it was the eating and drinking, that it was also metech yachas v'chesed amitim. Avraham Avinu didn't just get kind at the end. There was a sincerity that punctuated the whole experience from beginning until the end. How did you see it? What showed me that he was really sincere? That he really, because he walked you out. But it wasn't just the walking out. Walking out is symptomatic of the whole hospitality, of the whole experience. And so the livui ha'archim, the escort, is not should not be seen in isolation of the act of escorting alone. The escorting of the guest was really a window into how Avraham Avinu provided hospitality. So, if I ask you the question, what was Avraham's way in hospitality, and you answer to escort the guest after, that's the wrong answer. That's the technical answer. If you get technical and you quote the Rambam, you'll be technically right. You get the letter, but you miss the spirit. The way of Avraham in hospitality was to host with sincerity. He was really happy to provide for people. He really took joy and interest in people's needs. He really cared about them. And you know what? That's why he was successful. That's why he was able to influence people, because he really cared. If you don't really care about people, you can be the most gifted, the most talented, the most articulate, the most effective. You do all the things. You're not really going to change your life. Why? Because you don't really care. Avraham Avinu said, you know what hospitality means? What's the hostess with the mostess? When you really care about somebody.
When it comes from the heart.
When it comes from the heart. And how do you know it comes from the heart? Because the meal's done. And you're walking them out. You're seeing them off. That shows that you really care. And that's the great statute that was established by our father, Avraham Avinu. And that's in our DNA. And that's what we have to replicate in our own lives when we host people, provide hospitality, give to people. And if we give with sincerity, really give with our heart, then there's no question that not only will provide materially, but ultimately you provide spiritually and you influence them in a positive way as well.
That's correct.